Alrighty, today we're going to look at the topic of the journey of faith and how important our journey is. We're all on a trip, you know, because life is like a journey. It's like one big trip that we're all on. And as you've noticed through life, if you are aware, now I make the mistake of when I drive, I'm looking at the ditches and over in the fields trying to see the animals, you know, and stuff, instead of the road. That's one of my weaknesses, but one of many. But there's a lot of scenery that you can see as you go through the journey of life and as we go through that process. And sometimes, you know, as we go through life, we know right where we're at, don't we? But I've noticed that sometimes as we go through life, I don't even know where I'm going. You know, it's just sometimes it just gets like that. And still we press on, though, as a believer. And the journey of faith is just exactly like that, because, you know, we're technically following somebody that we cannot see to a place that we do not know. And that's where faith comes in. And I thank God for the Holy Spirit and for His Word that's in our life to help us through as we go through this journey. Now, last week we talked about the importance of faith and what faith's all about. As found in Hebrews 11:6, I think, was our springboard scripture. You know, and the idea of there's a reward for being a seeker of God. You know, if you seek God, you know, there's that reward. Then also, we should still keep seeking God even after we found Him. A lot of people make the mistake of once they find God, they quit seeking. But we need to continually be seeking. As a matter of fact, we even need to go harder after God, because God is so deep in the riches of His grace and mercy that we can tap into. We know that without faith, it's impossible to please God, and how important that is to understand that. And as our faith grows, our confidence grows. So there's importance of faith, and that faith that isn't tested really isn't faith. It's not genuine. You know, our faith needs to be tested and refined, and then, you know, what comes out on the other side. And lastly, we looked at the fact that how our faith needs to be released. Faith is thus not something we hide and use for ourselves, but we need to release our faith to be able to use it for God's glory. It's not about drawing attention to self. It's about drawing attention to Him. So today, as we look at the idea of the journey of faith, we're going to look at somebody in the Bible called Abraham and Abraham's call that he had from God. Abraham should be very familiar to many of you. You know, Father Abraham, you know, it's little kids sing that one. I'll spare you. But it's a really good song. You got to check it out on YouTube. I don't know if it's on there or not. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 and 9, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise." Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the anointing that's on it today to be able to break every yoke of bondage on our life, Lord. We thank You that we are opening ourselves up to what the Spirit of God says. We thank You, Holy Spirit, You are the teacher. Lord, I yield to the gift You placed inside of me. I use it for Your glory. And I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And we bind Satan from trying to steal the Word out of our hearts and minds in any way. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we notice from this passage, you know, many people call Abraham the father of faith. Now, I'm not going to go into it all depth, but he started out as Abram. And then when he was called by God, entered into covenant, got a name change, Abraham. And that has a different meaning, but we're not going to go into that today. But when Abraham was called, he was called of God to do something, but only something God knew about. Abraham didn't have a clue. And sometimes you and I go through the same thing. We feel an unction. We feel an impression. We feel a little disturbance in the spirit, you know, where we feel that God is maybe, you know, navigating or gravitating us towards a certain thing. And we don't really understand the big picture. And if we did, it'd probably freak some of us out, right? If God told us the whole thing, you know, we probably wouldn't do it. But yet, He gives us a little bit, just enough to get going. Now, the word call here, when Abraham was called by God, it's like the call when a shepherd calls his sheep. and he calls them by name. Now, living in the Western world, we don't have a deep understanding of the shepherd-sheep relationship. As I've shared, we were cattle people when I was growing up. A lot of times we would call the cattle sometimes, usually had to have a bucket of corn. It really, they followed the corn, not the call, you know. But we would drive them. We would get behind them, and I loved it when we got a four-wheeler. That saved me a lot of time. Just hop behind them, and I'd just round them up just like a horse, you know. And we used horses, too, when I was younger. But, you know, we would push them. But see, this here is talking of a different kind of relationship. The relationship that you and I have with God is where God calls us. He leads us. God goes first. Where from the Western culture, we push and we drive. It's a little different mindset. And as we understand that. Now, this call that Abraham received from God required a couple things, among other things, obedience and trust. Because the Bible says Abraham obeyed God. Obedience is very important. When we see something in Scripture, when we're feeling that God, you know, is moving us to do something or step out in a certain way, we have to have that obedience factor as we follow. Just like some people are going to be water baptized today, that's an obedience thing. You know, it talks about in the Scripture, believe and be baptized. You know, it's an important step in their relationship with God. Then it talks about the idea of trusting. You know, do we really trust God? You know, I think we get shattered or shaken through our whole life's journey in this area is our level of trust. You know, we start out as a little child, and all we do is lift our hands up. And as a little child, we get picked up as a rule. You know, 9 times out of 10, right? You know, get away from me, kid. I'm tired. My arms are sore. No, you know. But, you know, mostly when a little kid comes up, you just can't resist, man. You're picking them up. But then as we grow and mature, we start to lose that trust. And something can happen along the way in our walk with God. Maybe things, you know, come into our life and we don't understand and we start to lose our trust factor in God that sometimes we wonder, God, do you really care? And those are issues that we all deal with in our life journey. Everybody deals with them. Don't let anybody lie to you and say that ever since I got saved, I've never had one problem. You know, if they're doing that, they're living in a bubble somewhere and they're not doing God any good where they're at. Because the only way you do God any good is when you're out there with the rest of the folks helping each other through this journey of life. Now, Abraham, when he is called, you know, he left the family business. God said, hey, pick up, I want you to go over here, and I want you to follow me. So he left his surroundings, which is sometimes can be a challenge. You know, he picked up, left the family business. You know, he was called to leave the family religion, which wasn't, to me, a big problem. I mean, they were a bunch of idolaters. You know, they worshipped other gods and things like this, not the true and living God, but they worshipped Baal as well as other things, you know, due to the, you know, where they were at. And a lot of that them religions revolved around fertility and things like this because it's a large agricultural community and they wanted the crops to grow, so a lot of their sacrifices would come around fertility and things like this. So, and you can look at this story a little more if you want and go back to Genesis chapter 11 and 12 as well as all the way through there, and you can kind of see a little bit of the story about Abraham and what he had to go through. So how it worked was Abraham was called by God. Then he stepped out into obedience, and then when he stepped out in obedience, he was going to get the promise. You and I don't like that. We want to step out in obedience, get the promise, or we want to step out, we want to hear the call, excuse me, get the call, get the promise, and then if it's good enough, we'll obey. Ain't that true? Come on. We're like that sometimes, aren't we? You know, but God wants us to step out and obey and get the promise. And believe me, people, if God promises something, it's really good. Now, two things I want us to see from Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. There's like a sevenfold challenge or thing that God laid out to Abraham there. And you can look at those things and they're all really cool. But the two that I want to look at here today is number one, God says, I will bless you. Now, Abraham could have stopped right there and had church. Amen? Woo, God's going to bless me. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. Next point, you will be a blessing. Aw. You mean I'm not just going to keep it all for myself? You mean I got to go out and bless other people? See, that's the next step in our walk with God. Most of us look to God to be blessed, but do we look to God to be blessed along our faith journey so that we can be a blessing to others? And the reason why God does that is so that we can draw more people to Him, as long as we point the right direction in what He's wanting us to do. Now, I consider blessing somebody or being a blessing, it's like an investment. You know, the more we invest, the greater our return. Although I did hear the stock market dropped 500 points the other day. Hey, win a few, lose a few, right? But in the long haul, with God, it's better. You know, God doesn't have those dips, does He? You know, when we got into doing our retirement stuff, I mean, as soon as we got in, the market dropped. I mean, it took us years to ever even get back to zero, back to where we were. Amen. Yeah, what kind of investment's that? But I'll tell you what, every time you invest in God's kingdom, there's no loss. The Bible says it'll never rust, it'll never be taken away. You know, it's just one of the greatest investments there is. So as we invest in God, we invest in other people, and that's the way it is. So this level of trust is what we want to look at on our faith journey, because this is something that really needs to be established in our hearts as we start to go. And, you know, we all can maybe look back at where we started, where we're at now. You know, hopefully we're not like the children of Israel on our 30th lap out of 40 years, you know what I mean? They had 40 years of wandering in the wilderness because they made bad choices. Fortunately, God, you know, doesn't do it that way with us, and that's exciting. But Abraham, think about this, people. We just assume when we read something in the Bible that these guys, when they wake up every morning, the angels come and help them get their, of course, they wore robes back then, you know, help them get their pants on or help them get their robe on. It wasn't like that. Remember, Abraham was raised in a family of adulterers. And I don't mean that in a bad way. They just didn't know God. They worshipped other gods, little g. You know what I mean? So they that was just the way they worshipped. They didn't know any better. They didn't know really the true and living God per se. But all of a sudden, this new and living God, the true and living God, revealed Himself to Abraham and says, hey, I want you to leave all this and I want you to come over here. Huh. You can see all this, but you can't see that yet. It's a step. All on a God that he couldn't see. Think about this, people. You know, we have hindsight because we have the New Testament. We have all this information. But this was kind of early in the process of God revealing himself to people. Because they had walked away and, you know, in the sin of Adam and Eve, and then, you know, through the process of time, how a lot of these things kind of, you know, formulated, and, you know, they started chasing after these other gods and things like this. I'm sure they had, you know, stories of the true and living God, how he created things and things of this nature, but, you know, they didn't really know how to follow him. He hadn't revealed himself to them, but all of a sudden he found something in Abraham, a spark. He found something in him that could be used because Abraham had a good heart. He could just follow God. And that's the kind of heart he's looking for in you and I. You don't have to be the smartest. You don't have to be the best looking. You just got to have a good heart to follow that journey of faith. So don't compare yourself to somebody else and what they have or what you don't have. That's irrelevant information on a long journey. How many knows that things cycle in life? As the tide goes out and the tide comes in. You know, things change. Where you're at now is not where you have to stay. God has a better place. We just have to go on that journey of faith and hold on to Him. And one thing that's interesting is that difference between God and the other religions I thought about is the fact the other religions, you know, they just wanted His stuff. They wanted Abraham's stuff. You know, if we help, you know, your crops to grow, you need to give me some of your crops. No, that's part of God's thing too, but really God wanted more. God wanted Him. And that's an important element in that journey of faith, is that God wants us to buy into Him. He wants all of us. Now, I don't know about you how you guys plan trips. Now, some of you may be a little more laid back. But I think most of us, especially with the technology we have today, if you're thinking on going on a trip, you probably pull out Google first thing, or something similar to that. You type in the address, and all of a sudden it pops up the best route. You know, and it'll give you a couple other options, you know. But the one in blue, I think, is the one that's the best, that's the shortest. And, you know, it'll tell you 1 hour and 27 minutes. And come on, guys, when you see 1 hour and 27, you know it means 1 hour and 15. Praise God. Amen. You know it ain't really going to take that long. We think, yeah, that's for them guys, but I know I'm faster. I can get there quicker than you. So we Google map it and we see, you know, what's the best way to go and, you know, how long will it take? And then we maybe perhaps even if you're going to another state, maybe on a vacation, you'll, you know, research the destination where you're going. What do they have to offer me there? I want to know before I get there what I can get out of this trip. They're going to have an amusement park. Are they going to have a swimming pool? Are they going to have, you know, this or that, you know, the beach? You know, all these things, so we get the plan going, and usually, as a rule, most of us don't light out just half-cocked. We book a room, because we don't want to sleep in the car, right? The last thing you want to do is knock on that door and no room. So you book ahead. Now, Abraham, he didn't get to do that. He just said, God said, follow me. Now, granted, I know they were used to traveling by camel and all this stuff and packing up and living in tents. But nevertheless, it's just a different way. See, you know, if we have to have all those things straightened out all the time before we step out for God, basically, we have control issues. We like to control our destiny. Now, I am a firm believer in planning ahead, but I'm also a firmer believer that if we feel God's leading, we just need to follow Him on this life journey. You may not know everything. You may not even have a clue. I mean, be honest, people. When I started out teaching three-year-olds, I never had an idea that I would be pastor in a church. But that was the first step of my faith journey, where I learned how to communicate to people where I knew had more knowledge than they did. And I could grow in my faith. That was part of my life journey. Every step along the way is very important. And all God said to Abraham, follow me and you're going to be blessed. Period. Follow me. Now the only security Abraham had, like I mentioned, is that God said, I'll be with you every step of the way. And that's the same promise He gave to you and me. That promise has never changed on the faith journey. God says, I'll be with you every step of the way. And really, that should be enough. Although I will admit, He is invisible. Sometimes, God, where are you? Where are you in this situation? You know, I could have swore it was going to work out this way. Man. But it didn't. So we got to stay in faith. The journey of faith with God usually starts out, God gives us a general direction, and then He fills in the blanks along the way. Most of us will never get the end picture until we get to the end. That's just the way it is. We need to settle with that. You remember those old coloring books that we had as kids? Those ones where you had numbers, or maybe even letters if you were really good? You know, first you learn your numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you draw the lines, and all of a sudden, once you finish going in the right systematic order, a picture emerged, right? Well, that's kind of what it is in our faith walk with God. We start to fill in the blanks. We start to go from step to B. Usually we try to go from A to Z, but God wants us to go to B and then to C and then to, you know, D and then to E and, you know, follow that every step of the way, every point of the process. And along that is very important because as we do that, we're gonna get to where we're going and we're going to be ready when we get there. And that's a key, being ready when you get to where you're going. And that's really what the journey's about. Most of us aren't ready for the destination, people. We're not ready yet. We're growing along the way. Now, how many of you parents have went on a trip and you've heard this, are we there yet? We all have, right? After the sixth or seventh time, I'll let you know. No more asking. But think about Abraham. What question was he asked? They didn't ask, are we there yet? Do you even know where we're going yet? You know, how would that feel? You know, God said to go this way. Well, where are we going? I don't know. God just said, go this way. You know, that would even be harder yet, in my opinion. Now, before we go too far, I want to mention Abraham's called the father of faith, but did you know Abraham made some mistakes along the way, just like you and I do? We're so afraid to make a mistake, we're afraid to step out.
Amen.
But Abraham made some mistakes. Number one, a time or two, he told, you know, the place that he was at that Sarah, his wife, was his sister. She was his half-sister. Everybody say, yuck. No. A little different than our culture, right? But it was his half-sister. But he was afraid. God said, I'll protect you. But he got afraid. So there was a time or two when he went to a new area that he was afraid that they would kill him and take his wife by force. She was up in age, and she must have been a real looker, is all I can say. You know what I mean? But, you know, he said, tell him, you know, do me this. Tell him you're my sister. And, you know, he faltered there a little bit. Another time he made a mistake is when, you know, don't take this wrong, women, but he listened to the voice of his wife. God said, you're going to have, I'm going to number your descendants like the stars and like the sand. But no kid. Nothing. So they got impatient, and Sarah's wife said, I want you to go into my handmaiden, and I can have a child through her. And he did that. But that's not what God's plan was. So he made some mistakes along the way. So don't get hung up if you make a mistake on your journey. Don't let that drag you down and make you so you don't want to go another step. Because that's what the enemy tries to do. All along the way, he's going to try to throw roadblocks so that we pull back. Now for us, usually the journey that you and I take is maybe not a geographical change. You know, it may be, but for the most part, ours is a spiritual journey, and that's how we look at this process that we go through. The idea of, you know, that we're making changes in our life and we're growing spiritually. You know, the Bible says all are called, but few are chosen. Why? Why is that? You know, everybody's called, but many don't want to obey the call. Why don't we want to obey that call by God? Think about it. God has a plan for us. Why don't we want to? Few are chosen because they won't obey. A couple reasons why we may not want to obey is, number one, fear the unknown. You know, fear needs security while faith will take a risk. And that's just the true pattern of our life. We don't want to, you know, lose that security, whatever it is that we have. Maybe fear of failure. We're afraid that of what people will say to us if we fail. But the truth is, failure is just another lesson learned.
Amen.
Learn what not to do again, amen? That's just all it is. We just got to look at these things with a positive way. Sometimes we don't want to obey the call because we'd rather stay comfortable. It's comfortable being where I'm at. I'm in control of the situation. I know everything that needs to be known here where I'm at right now. And if I step out, I'll lose that security that I have or that comfort that I have. And lastly, you know, maybe afraid to lose that connection with some of your friends and your family. Because it is different. Not everybody of our friends and our family maybe are willing to take that journey. That journey of faith, of following God. Sometimes it scares them. Sometimes they don't know. And so we're afraid to maybe lose that. But, you know, really we need to go ahead so we can bring them along, people. That's the, you know, we need to bring them. So we need to be willing to follow God. So that's how we apply this, is we need to be willing to follow Him. We need to learn to trust and obey. Now, this is practical application. This is stuff you can do tomorrow. It's stuff you can do today. It's stuff you can do every day. It is to get that close connection with God, and then we learn to trust Him and obey Him, and we start to follow Him. And whatever that may be. It may not be easy. It may be easy. But nevertheless, it's going to enhance and grow that relationship so that we're going to be a stronger believer on the other side. I think we also need to be open to all the new people we're going to meet and experience that we have. If I wouldn't have started this journey, I wouldn't know any of you. I wouldn't know many of the people that I know now, that I've met along the way, that are also on their faith journey. They're in that process of following after God. And, you know, just at the right time, you know, you get those divine appointments where God brings you in contact with somebody and you help each other. You stir each other up to draw closer to God and to follow all the way. Those are important. You know, I think, you know, that here at the river, you know, we're taking this journey together, and that's why we need to connect together to try to use that, you know, help our faith to help each other. You know, next we need to get involved with this program. I believe we need to immerse ourselves in God's culture. This is so key. If you're going to be wanting to go from faith to faith and from glory to glory, you know, we need to immerse ourselves in this culture. That means we need to get in over our head. We need to just go for it. You know, don't be afraid. Don't be half-hearted in anything you do for God, but and just go after Him with all you have. And lastly, we're talking about don't know that you may make a wrong turn. We're going to make a mistake. Don't quit. It grieves me when I see people quit. It grieves me when I see people run and try to pull back from God because they made a mistake. You know, I found that what helps me, and this is very sound wisdom, people, what I've learned through this journey is that if God tells me to do something, I keep doing that until He tells me something different. Where people miss it is God tells them to do something, they do it and it's fun for a while, but then all of a sudden it turns into a little bit of a job and an effort in their life, and it's maybe inconvenient from time to time. So they think, wow, I think God's telling me to do something different. Huh, yeah, something over here is a little funner. So they do that, and then they're out there on their own. God's going over this way, and they're heading this way. And they wonder, what is going on? God, where are you? Why'd you leave me, God? God says, I didn't leave you. You left me. Get back over here. Get back to doing what you're supposed to be doing. That's where the grace is. I've given you grace to do this, not grace to do that. You'll find that out. You're saying, what's He talking about? Oh, you'll get it. It'll come to you. And lastly, trials are good if we approach them from the right perspective. Nobody likes to be picked on or by the devil. But, you know, trials are going to come. That's just the way it is. No matter, you can actually not be, you know, doing anything, and all of a sudden the devil's going to pick on you anyway. I'd just soon let him pick on me for doing something good. Amen? You know, and note that trial is going to come because what's on the other side of the trial is spiritual growth. And I like that. Now, I've always explained it. It's like you start out in kindergarten and you go through the process, you know. But the thing with God is that God doesn't automatically pass you like sometimes the schools do to get you through the program. No, you're going to have to pass these tests, every test along the way. He gives us the grace. He gives us what we need. But as we do that, then we're going to get to where we need to be. And when we're there, because what I'm saying is that, you know, it's the journey that prepares us for the destination. So don't hate the journey, because that's how we're growing. And then when we get to the destination, we'll be ready. A kindergartner is not ready to graduate high school, are they? They're not ready yet. Just like we're not ready for some of the things ahead of us. And that's okay. Just keep growing and keep going. Amen. Let's pray.